and welcome to the season 3 finale of Gilmore Ball Z, a podcast where I show my husband Gilmore Girls, he shows me Dragon Ball, and we try to find some sort of common ground. Just a quick note, this is not our usual format. If this is your first episode, you might want to jump back to the beginning, but for everybody else who's been following along, welcome. After a season, we like to stop and see how far we've come, how we're feeling, and if we actually have found that common ground. So, Grant, in season 3 of Gilmore Girls, What was your favorite episode, scene, bit, moment?
Okay. Well, for starters, I am currently overcoming the con plague that I picked up at Emerald City Comic Con.
I think we call it con crud, so it alliterates.
The con crud, yeah. The con crud. I picked up the con crud at Emerald City this year, so if I sound a little weird, that's why. So my favorite episode this season, I would say, would have to be the dance marathon. It was just good stuff. There were fun character dynamics. It's always fun to do an episode where you take a character, like take your characters and then put them into a situation where they are impaired.
At their wit's end.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like, you know, usually it's fun. Like there's the episode of Parks and Rec where everybody gets drunk, right?
Or sick.
Or sick, right? Like it's fun to do those and you can't.
There's the mushroom episode of Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, the mushroom episode of Cowboy Bebop. There's those couple episodes of Parks and Rec. You know, there's the episode of Frasier where Niles thinks he's high and Martin is actually high. And that's a good one, too. Like, though, that's always a fun inversion. Or not inversion, but it's always a fun trope to play with. And obviously you can't really do drunk when you're a family show and most of your characters are underage.
They did Suki drunk, but yeah.
They did, but you know, but they did tired, and that worked out really well. And it was just a great episode. That the moment of Dean breaking up with Rory is still great.
It's marred a little bit now, but nothing can break that brief shining moment.
No, that's still a beautiful moment for Dean as a character. I think that's the moment that I've liked Dean the most by a long shot in the entire show. And just that ending shot of
Lorelai
comforting Rory as she's crying and Kirk running around the gymnasium cheering, because in that moment Kirk is the audience and we're all just really glad that this part of the story is over. That was easily my favorite episode of the season. What's your favorite episode of the season of Gilmore Girls?
So, I think, of Gilmore Girls?
Yeah, this Gilmore Girls. What about you? We don't talk about how you feel.
I wasn't prepared for this
question. I know, I'm putting you on the spot. What's your favorite episode this season?
So, it is a cliche, and it is a cliche especially for people who like Jess. But I do love the scene in, is it 9 o'clock at the Oasis is the name of the episode, with the sprinklers.
That's a good scene. The sprinkler scene is really good. Overall, it's an episode, I feel like, but it was a good scene.
Well, and I think it shows something that a lot of other Jess episodes don't always show, which is Jess really caring about Rory as a person, connecting to Rory as a person.
She's more than just a cute face.
She's more than a cute face. She's more than just bothering Dean. Like, because he makes things okay with Dean because he wants to check that she's okay.
Yeah.
And also, Mila Ventimiglia,
all
wet in a, like, in the turtleneck, which is not a traditional, like,
no, but it works.
But it works, and it's not even like a lusty thing. He's just pretty.
He's a handsome dude. He is a handsome dude. I mean, if we're allowed to call out individual scenes, then I think
it does say episode scene.
It does say that on our outline. If we're allowed to call out individual scenes, I do also think that there's a lot of good moments in this season to get a shout out, but. Mm-hmm. I still keep going back to, it was in the second episode, when Christopher storms into dinner and starts, like, harassing Lorelai, and Lorelai's telling him, like, dude, you need to back off, and I'm still convinced he was written as drunk, and they decided to backpedal on it later on because they didn't want him to have driven over there drunk.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that he was supposed to be storming in there kind of drunk, but let me see my fucking kid, Lorelai, like, I'm convinced that's the way he was written. And then Rory getting in and beating down on Christopher and Richard.
Richard isn't there.
Oh yeah, Richard wasn't in that scene. That's right. I wished Richard was in that episode, but it wasn't. It was very much, there's a meme going around now that is getting kind of popular from.
Or at least it is when we record this, who knows, in 3 weeks. Yeah,
no, it'll be gone in a couple weeks. But there's an anime meme going around from the relatively recent episode of JoJo, where it's Mista and Narancia are both kicking the shit out of this random guy. And it cuts to Abakio when he's just, like, drinking his wine. And, like, he kind of has this look of disdain as he drinks his wine like a civilized person. Then it cuts to him joining in, and all three of them are kicking the shit out of this dude. And so people are, you know, having fun throwing names up on it. Yeah. And so that's what it is. We're Rory and Lorelai, we're Mista and Narancia in that scene. And then Emily's drinking her wine as Abakio and then jumps in to start kicking the shit out of Christopher, too.
True.
It was great. I loved that scene. But if I had to pick one episode, I think it would be the dance marathon.
Okay. For me, for Dragon Ball.
Yeah, favorite episode or moment.
The question I expected to get.
Yeah.
Is I really loved the introduction of Cell.
Oh, yeah.
The horror movie shot of Ginger Town when it's all cleared out and just something has gone horribly wrong. And then you just get the horror movie, like, bits of, you know, Bruce the Shark shots of just bits of Cell. And then you finally, you know, he's revealed as this horrifying creature. Beautiful work, lots of subtlety, lots of really interesting dynamic, you know, shots and things that I don't normally get out of Dragon Ball. Like, subtlety is not a word I associate with Dragon Ball, but it was really on display there and I loved it.
Yeah.
It was creepy, it was weird, it was unnerving, it was unsettling, beautiful. So that was my standout moment. What did you really love this season? Trunks? Is it Trunks Always and Forever Trunks?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. That introduction of Cell is objectively, from a filmmaking perspective, the best moment of this season. And looking at it through fresh eyes as an adult, I can see that that is the coolest moment of this season. But as the 8-year-old watching Dragon Ball Z, I will never not say the first appearance of Future Trunks.
Mm-hmm.
That might be my favorite moment in anime. Like,
didn't you say that it was the Frieza fight last season?
I don't think so.
I feel like we got a lot of pushback. That there was a lot of pushback last season when you said that Frieza getting cut in half was the best moment in anime, I think.
I don't think I ever said best moment in anime. That's also definitely one of the better moments in the show.
Okay, you might actually, yeah, you might have said it was the best moment in the show, and I actually have a note here that I was going to mention later that you got a ton of pushback from people.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the better moments in the show.
You said best.
Did I say best?
You said best.
I think...
We can check the tapes. We've got a podcast.
It doesn't sound like me, but...
What, blindly declaring something the best?
Oh, yeah, blindly throwing out superlatives? Me? Never. I think just Trunks slicing the shit out of Frieza is possibly my favorite moment in anime.
Then that might have been what they were talking about. Anyway.
Yeah, is possibly my favorite moment in anime. I would say, like, the only things that might rank higher would be, like, some of the stuff at the end of Gurren Lagann had some pretty cool, like, the hyperdimensional vortex in Gurren Lagann.
I might have been confusing two different scenes where Frieza gets sliced up.
Gets dismembered, yeah.
Yeah, so you might have called that one the best, and you might not be contradicting yourself.
Yeah.
But we still got a lot of pushback, and we heard you guys.
Yeah, like that, it's up there with that stuff. It's up there with...
Spike's final moment of God it's of up there with ambiguity.
It's up there with the entire final sequence of Cowboy Bebop, which... I have complicated feelings about Cowboy Bebop, but I don't think anybody will argue that that whole last sequence is amazing. You know, it's got to be Future Trunks. He's cool. He shows up out of nowhere, and they're like, "Oh, his power level's only 5. We can take him." And then he slices the shit out of everybody. And Frieza, who took like 10 episodes in Kai of Goku, beating him down.
I feel like it was so many more.
And Trunks just, like, shows up and puts him in his place. And he carries a sword, and he's got cool hair. And he's just so, so damn awesome. And it is, I know that from an objective perspective, it is nowhere near the best moment in this season. Because there's so much other good stuff in the Android arc. Because there's Vegeta fighting 18, and there's all this other stuff, and then there's also stuff coming later in the Cell arcs that are also really cool, but I think that Future Trunks fighting Frieza is one of my earliest memories of watching a show and just feeling the hype, right?
Hype monster was born.
Which is now the juice that fuels me. It is my Energon, is hype. And I feel like that is one of my earliest memories of just watching something happening on the TV and just thinking, wow, that is so cool.
Is there a dweebier sentence than
hype is my energon? No, there isn't. And yet I used it.
I love you.
Yeah, you already married me.
I know what that means.
Like, contractually obligated.
I can divorce
you. You can, but you're not going to. Otherwise, that one guy on Twitter will win.
It's true. Anyway.
Yeah, so that was my favorite.
Was that this season or last season?
It was a couple seasons ago.
Boo.
That was my favorite scene of Dragon Ball in this season. Always and forever.
Okay, and to keep you talking, favorite and least favorite characters in this season of Gilmore Girls.
Oh, favorite and least favorite characters in this season of Gilmore Girls. I think my favorite character this season, and I think I only really realize it as I'm saying it right now, but my favorite character this season in Gilmore Girls is probably Luke.
Yeah.
I think that he was low-key the most interesting character this season. He went through a lot. He had a lot of great moments. He had a lot of just really interesting growth and a vulnerability that we haven't seen as much of from him in the previous seasons.
Yeah.
Especially in the later in the season. We've really seen angles of Luke trying to be a dad.
Well, I think what's really good about this season is they put Luke completely out of his depth.
Yes.
He has no idea what he's doing, and that's what makes him really interesting.
Yeah. I think if you'd asked me early in the season, I would have said Emily.
Mm-hmm.
Because Emily did some really, really cool stuff in like the first half of the season. But the second half of the season, I feel like really underutilized Emily.
Especially because at the end, we got that Lorelai-Emily fight that just didn't work.
Yeah,
that
just didn't go. Yeah, exactly. And that was a good chunk into the season. And a good chunk of the last of the season was just her being positioned as just angry at Lorelai. And that just didn't work on so many levels. And so I feel like Emily and kind of by extension, Richard lost some ground in the later parts of the season. I still really like Richard. Like,
that's not going to
change. That's not going to change, but I felt he was also kind of underutilized in a lot of this season, especially in the later half. So I think it would have to be Luke. What about you?
For Gilmore Girls, yeah. I think I don't get the favorite character I want. I want Jess to be my favorite character this season. I feel like this was Jess's season to shine, and we really get a couple of moments where he does interesting things, and then they don't let him. And I think that's why I would agree that Luke is probably the best thing that happened this season.
Yeah, I'm in a similar place regarding Jess.
Except there's also Dave Rogalski. Dave Rogalski, underutilized but amazing.
That's
and
true.
Also does a lot of work to make Lane much more interesting this season than she has been previous
seasons. Oh, Lane definitely had a glow up this season. Lane has consistently been not my least favorite part of the show, but the part of the show I care about the least.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed this year. That changed this season. I she's still not my favorite part of the show, but I'm invested in her plot now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see more of her. And I am sad that Dave Rogalski is going to go away because he has to go teach Benjamin McKenzie. He has to go teach Constable Batman how to live in California.
So who was your least favorite character this season?
The obvious answer is Francie.
Yeah. She didn't show up as much as I remember, though, because I remember her being a bigger part.
No, but her part and her actions still...
Poisoned?
Here's the thing. She showed up in a relatively small number of episodes, but the sway she had over the plot ruined the entire Paris arc for this entire season.
Yeah. Until the end when it kind of picked up.
Kind of picked up, but it was too little too late.
Yep.
Like, really, really the answer is Paris, but I recognize it's not Paris's fault, it's Francie's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole dumbass Francie plot swept through and took over everything and derailed Paris and Rory's relationship so that it, as a result, for a good chunk of the season, Paris was just a boring character.
Yeah.
She would roll into an episode, say, I don't like you, Rory Gilmore, and then roll out. And that was it.
Yeah.
For so much of the season. And we could see the interesting things happening in her life, but we're not privy to it because the writers have closed us off from Paris. And turned her into just, I don't like you, Rory Gilmore, again, like she was in the first season. And that is really, really frustrating to me because Paris, every single season, Paris has had the potential to be my favorite character because she has so much going on, but the writers won't give her to me, and so she can't be my favorite character.
Yep.
And in this particular case, that is because of Francie. So I'm going to stick with Francie being my least favorite character.
Okay.
Who was your least favorite character this season on Dragon Ball Z?
On Dragon Ball Z, all of my answers will be numbers.
Okay.
My favorite character, because we're,
you know. Oh, yeah, I guess we are going in a weird order. We also didn't talk about least favorite episodes, so we'll need to loop back to that.
Yeah. Favorite, 16. 16.
He's such a good boy. He's
such a good boy. He just wants to kill Goku and make friends with birds. Like, he wants to be a good little brother. He wants to, like, or big brother. How does that, like?
I think he's the big brother, because he was made first.
He operates like a little brother, though.
Yeah.
But who's smarter than his older siblings. Like, he wants to take care of them, but they won't listen to him. And they won't let him have sway because they're used to being smarter than him. I love my boy 16.
Mm-hmm.
My least favorite, though, are 19 and 20.
Oh, yeah. They were just there.
They were just there. They were forgettable. They took up time. It was an interesting misdirect that we thought these were the androids that we were supposed to worry about. But I wish they had done a little more to make them interesting instead of just villains who came and wanted to suck everyone's energy. I feel like they should have been more interesting, but they were just kind of weird and there. Which I feel like is a problem with a lot of the placeholder villains in Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I mean, look at most of the Ginyu Force.
Yeah, look at most of the Ginyu Force.
Zarbon, Dodoria, Kui.
Even if we look at, like Raditz and Nappa.
Yeah.
Like, there is this pattern of we get the villains that we just kind of have to stick with until we get to the actual villain who we've put time and energy into.
They're the mid-bosses who are there so that somebody other than Goku can rack up some wins.
Exactly. And I don't care. Who were your favorite, least favorites?
On Dragon Ball? I mean, obviously, favorite, Trunks. Trunks is, again, Trunks is one of my favorite anime characters, period.
Yeah.
So it would make sense that he's probably my favorite Dragon Ball character.
Yeah.
It's probably edging out between him and Gohan. So he was easily my favorite this season, but mostly due to fanboyism. If I had to look at it objectively, my heart says Trunks, but I would say from an objective standpoint, my mind says Piccolo.
Mm-hmm.
Piccolo had a lot of really cool stuff this season. He has a lot of really interesting moments of growth and evolution, and I think that is, it's really cool. It's cool to see.
Yeah, you don't see him as much, but what you see of him is valuable.
Yeah, and it is nice to have him regularly in the mix now. After season two, he was dead for most of it.
Well, now he's dead again. But, you know. Least favorite?
That's a harder question. Honestly, I like the Android Saga so much. I don't know if there's anybody who I would really say I don't like. I mean, yeah, the easy answer is 19 and 20 because they're just kind of there.
Oh, give me the cop-out answer, sure.
But I kind of feel like it has to be them by default. Yeah, I mean, really like otherwise... everybody else. I like Goku in this season. I like Vegeta in this season.
It feels like a cheat to say, like, Roshi.
Right, because he's not really a character at this point. And he's
always the worst.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's really, there's really anybody I can point to and say that they're badly done.
No, and I think that's why I didn't say anything for my least favorite Gilmore Girls, person, because it is just Francie.
Yeah, it's just Francie.
It's an easy answer. Both of these have kind of an easy answer.
Yeah, but, like, with 19 and 20, it's not even because they're particularly bad characters, it's just that they lose by default because they're neutral, they're just there.
Well, and I'm forced to waste time on things. Like, neutral is almost a negative in the sense that I have to spend time with them is time that I can't be spending on someone else.
I guess that's true. But yeah, I feel like the Android Saga is an arc where the large majority of the cast is really used to their fullest.
Yeah.
Bulma is being given an opportunity to flex her stuff in a way she hasn't really so far in Z.
Which is great.
Which is really great. And all the androids are endearing in their own way. I mean, you know, the androids that are actual characters, 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
They're all endearing in their own way. And just all the Z Fighters get, I mean, even like, you know, he didn't do much so far, but at the very end here, and we're going to see in the next few episodes, even Tien gets out there and mixes it up. And Tien has a really cool moment it's going to be at the beginning of this next season. I mean, we saw him throw Cell down a pit, and he gets a big hero moment coming up.
He better, because I think my least favorite moment this season, because I mean, you want to cover that, is, and you're going to hate me for this, but the moment that I can think of is that 17 Piccolo fight.
It's so cool, though.
It is so cool, though, but I think it's not even that it's, like, bad or wrong, because you're right, it's incredibly pretty and interesting, and the mix is good, but it's that thing that drives me nuts about Dragon Ball, where they, like, give us all this eye candy that means nothing. Like, it feels, I mean, I know it's a show for children, but it feels like being in a kid's movie where everything's yelling at you in bright colors so you won't pay attention to the fact that the plot sucks. And the plotting in that scene sucks. The fight doesn't do anything from a character standpoint. Actually, this is sounds like a side note, but I was in a panel at Emerald City where they were talking about writing for romance.
Uh-huh.
And I forget if this is the one I dragged you to or not, but they were talking about how sex scenes in romance novels, they don't have to be there, but when they do, treat it like an action scene. Because if you can skip over an action scene and, like, not move the plot along, then why is it there? If you can skip over a sex scene and it's not advancing character or plot or, you know,
something. Yeah, then why bother showing it to us?
Exactly. And it's that same thing where it feels like battle porn. In that sense,
it's absolutely battle porn.
It's absolutely battle porn, and it's
pretty. You've cracked it. Dragon Ball Z is battle porn.
And it's pretty, but it doesn't tell me anything about the characters. I mean, it tells me that Piccolo is smart in battle, which is great, but it doesn't really move anything forward in their characters or the plot or their relationship to the degree that I want it to. It's just there and doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure I agree, but I can see where you're coming from.
That's how it feels, and if I have to come back and, like, cycle over it a few times for it to feel like it's doing anything, no one's gonna do that because it's so pretty, so they're either happy with the fact that it's pretty on the surface or not happy with the fact that it doesn't have anything deeper.
Do you really think that was the weakest moment of the season, though?
It is the thing that stands out to me most as the thing with most potential that didn't make it. I think it's not necessarily that it's bad or wrong. I think that it's not interesting to talk about things that are just straight up weak, because, I mean, it's Dragon Ball. There are things that are repetitive or weak that, you know, had weird animation, whatever. But I think that it's interesting to talk about the times where it had the most potential and didn't hit it and why that doesn't work.
And it's really, I mean, I think it's actually rather telling that nothing does stand out as being especially bad, because honestly, this was a really solid season.
This is a really solid season.
I'm trying to think, was there an episode this season that you straight up just said, I didn't like Dragon Ball this week? There might have been some early on.
Probably early on, yeah.
But in general, like,
probably in the 1920 fights, I would guess there was.
I don't know, but here's the thing, though. The 1920, maybe Goku versus 19.
Yeah, Goku versus 19.
No, though, because that still had interesting stuff going on with Goku that you were interested
in.
That's true. And then Vegeta 19 was just one of Vegeta's coolest moments in the show.
Yeah.
So even if 19 was a meh, he was just there, he was a good springboard for Goku and Vegeta.
Yeah, they were definitely doing more this season, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, this season was really solid, where it might not be that unfair to say that Piccolo versus 17 was one of the weaker moments. I just really love it.
So weakness on Gilmore Girls.
Weak episode of Gilmore Girls. I mean, this is, again, it's going to be obvious, but the whole episode that was devoted to the Francie plot was not just because it's the Francie plot and I hate Francie, right? Like,
but yes, it felt contrived.
It was, there was so okay. I've come to accept the fact that this show is ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, we're putting an opposite Dragon Ball Z. Like, I can accept the fact that it's going to be ridiculous.
That's why we put them next to each other.
Yeah, no, it's part of why we do this podcast. Like, I can accept that Gilmore Girls is silly and doesn't necessarily occupy a world that works the same way as our own. I can accept that. But that Francie episode in particular was so just, it's not even that it was more over the top and how ridiculous it was, but it was a completely different genre of over the top and ridiculous. With like, oh, Rory, we need to meet. And then they meet in a random parking garage.
Yeah.
That, like, Chilton has a parking garage, and they meet there, and then Francie, like, lights a lighter to let her know where it is, and then has a Chilton ninja trigger a car alarm so that she can Batman away. Francie Batmans out of that conversation. It was just so, just,
well,
and it would be fun if it weren't for the fact that the stakes on it were so mind-numbingly stupid. Francie was a character who had no clear motivations, no clear end goal, just there was, like, I want to take down Paris. Why? Because I want to take down Paris. It didn't go anywhere, and I'm okay with it not going anywhere. The Max Medina plot this season didn't go anywhere, and while I hate Max Medina, I'm not gonna begrudge, you know, I'm not gonna say that that was the worst thing ever. It was just confusing, right? But the Francie plot, it didn't go anywhere, and in the process of not going anywhere, caused the collateral damage that destroyed the Paris plot for an entire season.
But the Lorelai plot of
episode, the first appearance of Fletcher.
Alex.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a very forgettable plot, so that's fair.
Yeah. Well, and it was an awkward plot. Like, it wasn't just forgettable. That scene of the four of them talking at the conference center was just really awkward and forced.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't buy Lorelai's chemistry with, Guy.
Alex.
I didn't buy her chemistry with him at all, and I can see why they swept him under the rug pretty quickly. It just didn't work. So that's an easy contender for worst episode of the season. It was a bad episode, and it ruined the Paris plot for pretty much the entire season. I know I've said this a million times, but I really, really like Paris. I like Paris. She might be the most interesting character on the show. And there's so much to do with her, and her and Rory, and her and Lorelai. I loved a little bit of her interacting with Lorelai that we got this season. There's so much potential to be had with Paris. And they ruined it. For what? It made me so sad. I really hope that we eventually get a season that has a proper Paris plot.
Yeah. And we will get more Paris plots going forward. Just because, as we've already mentioned, Paris does end up going to Yale. Spoilers.
Yeah, I'm sure she will.
But we get a couple of Paris plots. I don't remember how good they are. Although we will get an episode where Rory and Paris go on spring break.
See, that sounds delightful.
Yeah.
I want more of that. I'm looking forward to that.
So, what did you think of the season?
Overall?
Yeah.
Overall, I thought it was a very good season.
Yeah, and I think we both got lucky this season.
Yeah, overall, this was a very good season. Obviously, there were things I didn't like. I just gave a whole diatribe about Francie and what that did to Paris.
But what did you like, dear?
I really liked what was going on with Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Dave was a great addition to the cast. I liked that. I both liked and didn't like the love triangle stuff. I thought that the further development of Jess was good, even if it was clumsily done.
Okay, so Rory's love triangle, not Lane's love triangle.
Yes, although I did also like that. The love triangle stuff, overall, I did not like,
but
it had some really good moments. I really, really, really love that scene of just Dean and Jess giving each other shit at the diner. That was a beautiful moment, and while in general I'm not a big fan of their dynamic, I loved that little moment between them. It was great.
And that's a better dynamic for them.
Yeah, it is. And I wish we got more of that throughout the rest of it. I really liked what was going on with Emily and Richard early on in the season, and it's a shame that it got derailed near the end.
Yeah.
But we'll see how well they stick the landing and recover. And I liked what we eventually got of Paris at the end.
Yeah. And I liked what we got with Lorelai and Chris and Sherry.
Yeah, I think that in general, this season had a lot of really good stuff, but it was all squished into weird places.
Yes.
Whereas if they'd taken those weird squished things and stretched them out and kicked out the bullshit, it could have been a perfect season of television.
Yep.
But I'm not going to begrudge the fact that it wasn't perfect. Like, I'm not going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good here. It was still a good season of television, even if individual aspects of it really confused me. I'm sorry, I really need to talk about how confused I am by Max.
Yeah, go on.
They brought Max Medina in.
Yep.
In one episode.
Yep.
He didn't show up in the next episode.
Yep.
Then in the next episode after that, they wrote him out.
Basically.
And presumably, he's never going to show up again. See, I don't trust you now to tell me he's never going to show up again.
I don't think he shows up again.
But presumably, he's never going to show up again.
Presumably.
So what was the point?
The point was that they didn't want to get Lorelai and Luke together and couldn't figure out what to do with her, because they tossed around Christopher, they tossed around Alex, they tossed around Max, and they tossed around Nicole, for Luke, not a lesbian thing. And they just wanted to stall that out, and they weren't sure how to stall it out for a year, and it didn't work.
But why bring back Max for two episodes?
Oh, who knows?
Like, that is a point at which...
If we have any Gilmore Girls scholars who have any insight on this,
there's gotta be a behind the scenes reason.
There's gotta be a behind the scenes,
they wanted to bring him back for a longer arc and then he couldn't.
Yeah.
And it was too late to just nix it entirely. There's gotta be a reason.
It was
because
weird.
That was really bizarre.
That was bizarre.
Like, and that's not just because I have my biases of hating Max Medina. That was just a really bizarre story point to make.
I wanna imagine how much of your editing is just gonna be your rants on Francie and Max.
Sorry, I just needed to have a sidebar about that because it's still baffling to me.
Okay.
But yeah, overall, good season. What did you think of this season of Dragon Ball Z?
It was also a good season of Dragon Ball Z. I think that it still has some of those things about Dragon Ball Z that I can't get over. It still hasn't quite figured out how to make me happy with fight scenes. And there's still a lot of fight scenes because it's Dragon Ball. But we had things this season that were surprising, that played with time scales, like the whole swap between it's not these androids, it's actually these androids. Oh, wait, maybe it's like, but now it's Cell because we've changed the time stream. All cool stuff. The fact that they dealt with the parallel universes, cool stuff. Some of the tension that they brought, some of the switch around, some of the character development with Bulma and Piccolo. A lot of good stuff happened this season, and I was overall happy with it. I think I'm still frustrated. And the next question is, are you a fan? I'm still frustrated by all the limitations Dragon Ball has, where it puts itself into a very small box. And I can see that box so clearly. And it's like, no, you played with something outside the box there. Just break out of that little box. Break out of your little, like, shonen box. It's okay. But I know I won't get that. So I'm trying to still come to terms with loving it for what it is, and it's still a little bit hard.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a fan of Gilmore Girls after this season?
I think so.
Okay.
I think last season I said I am solidly a fan, and I think that hasn't changed.
Well, it will.
maybe it will, but I'm solidly a fan after this season. Same with you. I still have my issues. I've already ranted about Paris. It really is mostly Paris. But I also had issues with how they handled Jess.
You know, Grant, we will always have Paris.
We'll always have Paris. I also have my issues with how they handled Jess, which we talked about a lot in that
big... And
Dean. And Dean, but mostly Jess, because Jess is actually a good character.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about that a lot in that episode with Rory and Jess at the party, so I'm not going to go over it again. But I have my issues with how they've handled Jess. It's a shame that they're writing Jess off.
Uh-huh.
When it seems like he's only just starting to, or he was only just starting to achieve his potential as a character.
Yep.
And that is frustrating to me, especially for the sake of a spinoff that I know fails.
And also that they didn't give, like, Jess and Rory any time to actually be a couple.
Yeah, we didn't really get any opportunity to see Jess and Rory, the good things about their relationship. Because I believe their relationship had good things.
Or even the bad things about it that don't have to do with Dean.
Yeah.
Dean, even in the, like, their issues that had to do with Jess's school stuff, suddenly Dean pops up.
Yeah, no, Dean was kind of my nemesis a little bit this season.
He was a dark ghost haunting everything when he, like, he's like, you're dead, move on, go away.
Yeah, like, Dean was a little bit my nemesis. This season. Well, although we had cameo appearances from my other nemeses, Francie and Max Medina, he was my most recurrent nemesis this season, that whenever he showed up, he just drained the fun out of the episode most of the time.
Yeah.
With a couple of exceptions. The carnival episode, that was this season, right? Yeah, it was. The carnival episode, I was really glad to have Dean in. The party episode, I was glad to have Dean in. There were some times where it made sense to bring Dean back. But for a lot of the time... And actually, not even entirely the carnival episode, because that was also, like, when we had the peak level of evil Dean being ridiculous. So, you know, that was a problem, but whatever. I'm not going to get too torn up about it. But that's my big wish for the show moving forward, is that we get rid of Dean, and I know we're not going to anytime soon.
Not for a little bit, not until he has to go fight demons.
Yeah, he has to go hunt demons. Soon he'll have to go hunt demons.
So the next part of our season finales traditionally is thanking people who have, you know, interfaced with us. Who have
we love our fans. We love you guys. And there are a number of you, a number that is greater than zero.
Yeah.
A number that's greater than one, because there will always be your mom.
Yeah.
But it is surprising to us that we have fans that number greater than one, and so we like to acknowledge you guys.
Yeah, and if we don't mention you, we're really sorry, we're bad at taking notes.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of all of you, but if we don't mention you, we still saw you, and we still love you, and we're sorry, and you can blast us on social media.
Please. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Emily. Emily, thank you for explaining Ireland to us.
This has come up a couple times now.
You seem to live in a strange mystical land where at Christmas men in jumpers have choreographed numbers on TV where they tell children about toys, and they're the, like, United Kingdom kinds of jumpers that you wear on the top portion of your body instead of the American jumper that you wear on all of your body.
Yeah, yeah. For our Americans, we're referring to a sweater.
Yes. So he just wears ugly Christmas sweaters every year and tells children about toys.
Although it goes both ways, because just recently I had to explain to Emily that not everybody puts gigantic, obnoxious Christmas decorations on their house here in America.
That is true. Most of us don't. We actually go and travel out to the people who do, and there are, like, maps you can get of the best Christmas decorations.
Most people don't do that either, though. Let's not give the child, strange notions about America. International relations happening here on Gilmore Balls.
Yeah, so thank you for that thing that we never expected to come out of this podcast, but it's really cool.
Yeah, no, it's pretty great.
Sherman, thank you for emailing us a couple times. Sherman first emailed about our bonus episode on coffee because apparently his reaction to alcohol is exactly the same as my disgusted response to coffee. Funny story about this, I think we cut it out. When I first tried rum, I spat it across the room. Because rum's gross, guys. Especially because...
Straight.
Grant insisted that I shoot a straight shot of rum, and so it ended up on his carpet.
Yeah, well...
Tasted like immediate gag reaction. Stuff's gross.
It was college.
And actually, yes, it was dismantling trunks being your favorite moment, because Sherman pointed out that there were a couple other moments we should also look at. And these make no sense to me, so please don't explain them. Ultimate Gohan taking Super Boo out to the woodshed.
Also a good moment.
I'm sure these words will make sense.
MUI.
Okay. MUI Goku slaying on Jiren when he first transforms. Is that in Super?
That's like at the end of Super.
Okay. Vegito. Is that a typo or is that a character?
No, that's a character.
Okay. Vegito destroying Buhan.
Actually, that is definitely also up there as one of the best moments in the show.
Okay,
one of my favorites.
And, Super Saiyan Blue Vegeta versus Rose Goku Black Round 2, are apparently fantastic moments.
Those are all actually really great moments in Dragon Ball. Those are not wrong.
Yeah, and also he wanted to share that he also loved the movie, that it was, quote, the shit.
The Broly movie?
The Broly movie was absolutely epic. The animation and the art were beautiful. And it was a cool open-ended conclusion that set him up as a potential ally and sparring partner.
Agreed on all those things.
Agreed on all those things. It was A-plus work. And apparently I'm just going to hate Vegeta more later in this arc. So good to know.
You will hate him and then you will love him.
And we have one new review from Ferngully. Thank you, Ferngully.
On iTunes.
On iTunes, yeah. I'm coming at this from the perspective of a lifelong nerd who found Gilmore Girls late, but somehow never got into DBZ. Since I was in my 20s, when I finally started watching Gilmore Girls, I am absolutely here for calling out the crazy, but I can't help but love it anyway. Same. I know I'll never watch DBZ with my limited free time, so I'm glad to at least know a little about it now, mostly about where the over 9,000 thing came from. In summary, Gilmore Balls is hilarious and an honest take on two shows that had a huge influence on millennials as we grew up, and listening to both being intelligently, amusingly, and lovingly dissected is a lot of fun. I'm constantly trying to convince my Gilmore Girls friends and my podcast-loving friends to listen to it.
Aww. That's adorable. Well, thank you, Ferngully.
We love you. Anyway, I'm the cockles of my heart.
You all right?
I'm good.
You all right? We got moisture, folks. We got moisture.
I am not moist. Please don't take that as a soundbite.
Oh, I'm definitely taking that as a soundbite.
Also, one last fan moment that I want to call out is Michael Gale's recommendation of Gilmore Balls on Facebook. Which I am going to read in its entirety, because it's, or at least the first few sentences. I randomly saw an ad for this on Facebook, and after jokingly showing my friends, I decided to give the podcast a chance. I enjoy sitting down and listening to Paige being split on episodes of DBZ, guilty, and Grant making alliterations with Chad Michael Murray's name. Yeah, we miss those too.
I, Chad Michael, miss them.
I definitely recommend listening if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, as Paige asks a lot of interesting questions. Okay, yes I do, because there aren't good answers. That I never thought about before. You'll also learn about Gilmore Girls and wonder when Grant will solve the mystery of Dementia Town. The answer is really never.
No, there's no mystery. It's just there.
It is a mystery. It's just one of those big mysteries that has no answer. It's a riddle. It's a conundrum. It's an enigma. Thank you, Michael. We're glad you listened, and, you know, hopefully you're still listening at least to hear this.
Yeah, we, and everybody else. Also, I think really a special shout out to everybody who has donated this season to the Gohan and Rory Book Club Fund.
Yeah, to give an update on how we're doing. How are we doing?
We are doing really well with the Gohan and Rory Book Club Fund. We launched it at the end of last season, and holy damn, you guys, it got traction so quickly that pretty soon after we had to, not we didn't close it ever, but we had to temporarily stop advertising for it because y'all were funding episodes faster than we could keep up. So this past season, for those of you who haven't been keeping up, we opened the Gohan and Rory Book Club Fund at the end of last season. And it is a GoFundMe that we never see the money, we don't touch it, but it goes directly to a charity called Room to Read that helps with, equality and education for students, especially young girls in developing countries. And we just thought that was a really important cause, and it was a good way to redirect, you know, people who might want to give to a Patreon or whatever, but we don't, like, we didn't want to do that. But we thought this was a good way to redirect that energy, and you all came out in full force.
Mm-hmm.
You funded Paige's first cup of coffee. You funded Bardock, Father of Goku. You funded Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, starring our bratty little sister, all caps, Kiri. You funded the Gohan's tutor and Piccolo and Goku Learn to Drive filler double feature. You funded the OC pilot, and you funded Cooler's Revenge, co-starring Adrian from But Why Though. Like, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bonus episodes that you have already unlocked. So with what you've given to the GoFundMe, what you've given to Room to Read directly, what we've matched and what others have matched because of giving during matching periods for like the holidays and stuff, we've raised a total of $665 for Room to Read in the past season. And from their website, that is $300 a year is enough to send a girl to school for a year. And then $50 is enough to just, what is that, for books and stuff?
For books and stuff.
Yeah, to give a year of reading specifically to a child. So that means two girls have been able to go to school for a whole year, and there's been enough reading materials for another child for a year just because of what you all have done for this podcast. And that is really amazing. Like, that's two whole-ass people. Whole-ass people in developing countries. Instead of half-ass people, two whole-ass people in developing countries are going to school and getting an education now because of all of you. And we're a small podcast.
Yeah.
Like, that is so, so, so awesome. So thank you to every single person who's given to the GoFundMe. We're funding more bonus episodes still. You can go to our website and you can see what we're currently funding to make all that happen. And if you're somebody who has given and gave and wanted to do like a shout out or a message or something, and we haven't gotten back to you, again, please, please, please let us know. There's possible people fell through the cracks a little bit when it first blew up and we were trying to keep track of everything. So if you're like waiting on a reward and we never gave it to you, reach out to us through any of our social media. We will make that right because you all have made something really amazing happen, and we want to make sure to fulfill our end of the bargain.
So just a quick thank you. So thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Justin, Rachel, Jose, Amiyumi, Ashley, James, Adam, Ansley, Sherman, Greg, Jill, Kiri, and our anonymous donor. We love all of you for giving and being generous and kind people.
Yeah, no, it's all come together to help real people in real situations, and I just think that's really, really cool.
And if you think that's something you want to be a part of, we are still doing it. We are raising money for our next unlocks, which are Pride and Prejudice, the Bollywood-style take on Pride and Prejudice, which does have Alexis Bledel in a small role. Or past that, we have, what's our next Dragon Ball?
Well, we haven't put it up to a vote yet. We're going to put it up to a vote later. It's either going to be History of Trunks or Broly the Legendary Super Saiyan. We're going to put out a poll at some point to decide that. We might have already, depending on when this drops, but that's what we're working on at the moment for that. And we will have more unlocks as we go. The plan is to just keep doing this until we stop getting money, or we have exhausted every possible, you know, material, and then we'll find new stuff. Yeah, so we're at another $25 to get to History of Trunks, and
or,
then,
no.
or to get to Pride and Prejudice, and then another $25 after that to get to History of Trunks or Broly the Legendary Super Saiyan. And yeah, we'll have it in the show notes. You can go to our website. All the information is there.
Somewhere in the future, Grant has threatened me with a Cinderella story just so he can make more Chad Michael Murray jokes.
Yeah, well, that's definitely going to be up there. Or just something with Chad Michael Murray. And I mean, DBZ fans, you know that there's a whole shitload of extra content that we could subject Paige to, right? We could subject her to any of the earlier movies. There's two other Broly movies after this one before we even get to the good Broly movie. There's so much that I want to watch Paige squirm through. So
I don't like the idea of Bio Broly. I don't even know anything about it except this title is Bio Broly, and like this tone that you and Adrian have used when you're talking about it makes me scared.
Oh, it's real bad. There's also that one DBZ movie where Gotenks fights Hitler.
What?
Yeah, no. Wait,
I had not heard about this until now. What?
Yeah, no. Gotenks fights Hitler, which is really funny for you because you haven't even met Gotenks yet.
I don't know what that is, and yeah. I don't know why he's fighting Hitler. I assume it's a man.
Yeah, you haven't met Gotenks yet. That's good. That's still a couple seasons until you meet Gotenks, but there is a movie later where Gotenks fights Hitler. We'll have to do that one. Yeah, so I guess that's really this season for Gilmore Ball Z. Well, actually... a question that you asked last season is not in our notes, but is important to ask because I think it was important. What are you most looking forward to next season, and or what do you think is most going to let you down?
Okay, so the thing I'm most looking forward to is I'm looking forward to whatever's going to happen with 16 through 18.
Okay.
I'm excited.
I mean, 17 got 8, so.
Yeah, I mean. I'm guessing he's going to get an 8 at some point. You told me he becomes a park ranger, and unless he's a park ranger from inside Cell, you know, like, it's just a giant forest preserve in there. I am excited for them becoming real characters. Like, I want to see who they are when they aren't trying to kill Goku. Like, I feel like they are interesting people. I think they're going to grow as characters. I really am excited for this. I know I'm not going to get it. The thing that lets me down is I know 18 and Krillin get together. And I want to have the cute little love story that I never got with Bulma and Vegeta.
Mm-hmm.
And from, like, a gender swap perspective. But I know I'm not going to get that. And that makes me sad.
You will get more of that than you are expecting.
Okay.
But I don't think it'll be enough to satisfy you still.
Okay.
But you will get more of that than you're expecting.
What about you?
For me, I am...
Because Rory's going to college.
Yeah, I'm most excited to see how they're going to change up the formula. The Chilton parts of the show have consistently been the weaker parts of the show for me, Paris notwithstanding. And so I'm hoping that by giving us a change of venue, we can unlock some new story potential for Rory and hopefully for Paris and to make all of that work and maybe show us some stuff that I wanted to see earlier. I'm excited to see that new dynamic and to see Rory grow as a character in that way. I know Rory eventually ends up being in a place that I'm not going to be happy with, but I hope we get to see some more interesting stuff with her before we end up there.
Yeah, and in the middle, we also get some more interesting stuff for Paris, where Paris actually gets a couple of romances.
That's good.
Yeah.
I want more of Paris's life, because there's obviously so much interesting stuff happening in Paris's life that we never get to see.
Yeah.
The thing that I want, but I know is going to disappoint me, is I really do just want Lorelai and Luke to get together already.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the pattern. They're going to get together this season. It's going to be weird and awkward. There's going to run into issues, and they're going to break up. And then they're going to stay broken up until near the end of the show. Like, I know what I'm in for.
Oh, it's going to make you madder than that.
I know it's going to make me mad. Like, I know it's going to make me mad. But... And, like, I get it that that's part of the formula, and that's how long-term couples have to be on TV.
They don't have to be.
But, yeah, counterpoint, no, they fucking don't. Exhibit A, Niles and Daphne on Frasier, right? You can put the couple together and then still have compelling TV by showing that they are going to run into some growing pains as they go, but that they are a happy couple. Happy couples can be interesting.
So, it can be done. They're not going to do it. You're right, that's going to be sad.
Yeah, no, I'm frustrated by that. Other question, without obviously without spoilers, what are you excited for me to see next year on Gilmore Girls?
There are a couple of things that are going to happen, I think, that will make you very unhappy.
Okay.
There's going to be some stuff.
Yeah, the answer can be how mad I'm going to get at something.
Yeah, no, there are two moments that I think might make you mad. There's a choice that Lorelai's parents are going to make,
mm-hmm.
that Emily and Richard are going to make, that they're going to do some things you don't like. I know, shocker. That Emily frustrates and Richard. Me. And Rory is going to make at least one incredibly bad decision. And it's going to be bad. I am so excited for it to be bad. I have, in fact, told Rachel Gatlin, who we love and who we love having guest hosts, that she can't have that episode because I want your pain all to myself. So that.
Okay.
What are you excited for?
I'm excited for you to see everything that's going to happen with Vegeta next season. I'm not sure if you're going to like it or not.
Okay.
But
I will find it interesting.
You're either going to really like it or be really frustrated by it. But I think that this next season has some of the best character moments for all of our Saiyans.
Hmm.
It's probably got peak moments for Vegeta, Goku, and Gohan, and really Trunks in terms of their character development in this season. But in particular, Vegeta, I think, really gets a lot of really good material to work with, especially later in this season.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, like, there's, like, I know you're going to like the Gohan stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're a sucker for Gohan and Piccolo, and for Gohan in general, and I know you're going to like it. Like, that's going to be good, but I'm not worried about that. But I'm interested to see how you're going to react to Vegeta's arc moving forward, especially in this season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this has been the season 3 wrap-up of Gilmore Ball Z. 4 seasons to go.
We're 3 seasons into this.
We're 3 seasons into this.
We've been doing this for 3 seasons.
Yeah, we're 3 seasons into this. A few hundred listeners, according to PodTrack, and a few hundred dollars, according to Room to Read.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous.
So thank you all for listening. We really appreciate you there. We're still surprised you're there, and we love it. So yeah, thank you.
It's... I'm so happy that this project has continued to work, that we've continued to keep it fresh, that our fans are obviously still interested, that our fans exist. That is still just so weird to me. We have fans that care.
With an S.
Right. Plural. Fans. We've had people, like, want to hang out with us in real life.
And we're sure we want to hang out with them. Probably we assume you're not serial killers.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're all not serial killers. Thank you all from the bottom of our hearts for listening to us. You all know where to find us. Facebook, Twitter. Our Facebook's Gilmore Ball Z. Our Twitter's at Gilmore Ball Z. That's where you can get the most of us. If you want to follow my Twitter in particular, it's at GPLow92. You can follow me there, where I talk a lot about video games.
WordPress.
Our WordPress is gilmoreballz.wordpress.com, but you all listening, you probably know all this stuff already. Our email is gilmoreballz@gmail.com. But you all know that. Thank you all for listening. Please, if you've gotten this far with us and you haven't done so already, please rate and review us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Facebook, on wherever it is you find us. You know, share us with your friends. Yeah, like, tell a friend, share on Facebook, whatever. Get the word out. So, we will be back in your feeds next week with the beginning of season 4. God damn, we are on 4 seasons of Gilmore Ball Z. So, we will see you then with our regularly scheduled programming. We love you all, and we will see you next Saturday.
Good night.
So, will Rory be able to cut the umbilical cord now that she's out of Stars Hollow? How many Z-Fighters will get absorbed? And will Grant ever be able to forgive and forget Francie? Y'all know the answer is no. The answer is never. Find out next season on Gilmore Ball Z.